editor now to the international newspapers. Leo McGuinn joins us in studio for our press review. And Leo, we're going to start with a Washington Post exclusive on a phone call between Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden.
Yeah, this is a Washington Post exclusive this morning, as you say, with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu telling the US that Israel will only strike Iranian military targets, not oil or nuclear sites. Washington seeing this as a sign of restraint after fears of an attack which could have provoked a wider war. An Israeli strike on Iranian oil facilities could have sent energy prices soaring, something which Washington was certainly very worried about. And an attack on the country's nuclear research program could risk further escalation, with the US getting more of a military role. So this all comes from, as you say, a phone call between Netanyahu and Joe Biden last week that the Washington Post have got the details of. And according to this, the Israeli PM was in a more moderated place in that discussion than he had previously been. The apparent softening of the Prime Minister's stance factored into Biden's decision to send a powerful missile defence system to Israel. One Israeli official close to the PM said that they would continue to consult with the US ahead of Israel's planned strike on Iran, but they would not wait for a green light from Washington. In the 2 weeks since Iran's latest missile barrage on Israel, the Middle East has braced for that promised response. So when will that be? Well, Haaretz have this headline this morning, reporting that the Israelis will strike before the November the 5th US elections. This comes from that same phone conversation between Netanyahu and Biden. According to sources, a lack of response would be interpreted by Iran as a sign of weakness, adding that this will just be the first in a series of responses. Another point from this report: Netanyahu told Biden that he intends to wrap up operations in Lebanon in the coming weeks, making the point that it's a conflict that he really doesn't want to drag out.
Moving on, Leo, another story we've been covering this morning is the fact that India and Canada have been expelling top diplomats.
Yeah, I'll start with the Canadian press. The two biggest national newspapers have quite different tones this morning. So this is the National Post, an opinion piece. They have calling for a swift end to this diplomatic war. They remind readers that India fought alongside Canada in World War II. They're a fellow member of the Commonwealth, an ostensible ally against authoritarian states, they say, like China. This, of course, all centres around the killing of Sikh activist Hardeep Singh Nijjar last summer. He was murdered in a parking lot in Canada in June 2023. And Canada have accused the Indian government of some sort of involvement, whereas New Delhi have said that Trudeau's government provides spaces for violent extremists and terrorists to threaten Indians in Canada. This piece finishes by saying that India's importance to Canada is undeniable, and politicians in both countries need to focus on their common agenda and turn down the heat a little bit. So that's a very different tone to the country's other national newspaper, which is the Globe and Mail, who accuse India of gaslighting. This opinion piece making the point that any democratic government, once informed of such grave accusations, would promise a full investigation, which India didn't do. Rather, they put the blame back on Canada. This piece also say that the allegations in truth really are a tragedy, as Canada and India should be drawing closer together, and relations are dangerously close now to a complete breakdown. I'll finish with some Indian press. You can see it makes the front page of The Hindu this morning, one of the country's main English language newspapers. The Times of India have this piece. They say Justin Trudeau's aggression towards India coincides with his sliding popularity. According to this, this has led him to trying to woo the politically significant Sikh community ahead of the federal elections, which are, of course, next year. They call it a last-ditch tactic to save his dwindling popularity.
OK, interesting story there, Leon. Next, you've picked up on an article in Sweden where a French footballer is at the heart of a serious scandal.
Yeah, it is a serious scandal. And this is news that was first reported in the Swedish press yesterday, reporting that an investigation has been opened for rape following a visit by Kylian Mbappe, France captain Kylian Mbappe, to the Swedish capital Stockholm last week. His entourage have called the accusations false and irresponsible, as well as saying they're ready to take legal action. Mbappe was quite quick to respond to this, actually, on social media. You can see this post. Fake news, he says. It's becoming so predictable. And then the last sentence, just before the hearing as well, by chance. So that hearing he's referring to is due to take place today. It's part of a bitter dispute between Mbappe and his former club PSG over unpaid wages. So that post by Mbappe certainly implying that the French club might have something to do with the accusation. So what has PSG's response been to that? Well, this is in Le Parisien this morning. The headline, PSG considers Mbappe's implications a disgrace. This is according to inside sources at the club, because they say the club won't make an official statement in order to keep their class and dignity. France coach Didier Deschamps was actually asked about these accusations after France's win over Belgium last night, which Kylian Mbappe didn't play in due to a recent injury. Deschamps urged people to take a step back in order to sort out what's true and what isn't.
You're going to end, Leo, with a very different story about scandal and sport.
Yeah, it was sport of a sort. It's the World Conkers Championship, and it's shocking news coming out of there as winner David Jenkins has been accused of cheating. Jenkins is actually a real legend of the sport, and it looked like a real fairy tale victory. He's taken part in every single World Conkers Championship since 1977. He's known as King Conker. He'd never won until this year. So what a fairy tale, right? Well, maybe not, because he's now been accused of cheating. In the aftermath of the competition, organisers searched Jenkins and they found a metal replica conker in his pocket. There's more suspicion, as actually he was the one responsible for drilling and inserting strings into competitors' conkers to make sure they were regulation. Alistair Johnson-Ferguson, who was beaten in the final, said he immediately suspected foul play, saying his conkers disintegrated in just one hit, and that just doesn't happen. Jenkins, who's 82, has denied any wrongdoing, saying he only carries the metal conker around for humoristic value, but no humour in this, Eve. Cheating at such a prestigious event. Let's hope it turns out to be a simple mix-up. There is a full investigation underway. A sad day for the world of conkers, and I'm sure you used to play in the playground all the time.
I did, and I'm only just learning here in this international France 24 newsroom that it's not an international sport.
Yeah, French producer Pierre had no idea.
Never
what I was
heard of
about,
it. I mean, you're missing out, people. You're missing out, and so did we in a trick. I always used the genuine conker. Liam McGuinn, thanks a lot for that look at the international papers.